and asked me to, you know, talk about that. And I said, fine. Of course, she's an associate just like all of us. And when somebody thinks it's a good article or there's some good tips in there for people, I take that into account. And I love to get suggestions for my Monday call because I've only been doing these now for 14 years. So every Monday, I can hardly believe it myself. But what a joy. So today we're going to, so if you have suggestions, send them my way too as well. You can just pop an email to Lydia, and we love suggestions on trainings. Today we're going to talk about 7 tips for making a success of that crucial first meeting with a prospect. Because I know we spend a ton of time in our Manatech business. We try to find people, and you should see my if you looked at my desk right now, you would be appalled, like Lydia is, because she likes everything really organized. And I was planning on doing it this weekend to get it cleaned up, and I never got to it. A lot of other things came up, and I wanted to definitely have some free time, personal time. But I have business cards everywhere. I mean, I got more stacks of business cards because I've been doing a lot more prospecting lately. And so I know that first and foremost is to find people that want to, you know, we talk to a lot of people and we try to drive them into a one-on-one presentation or a group meeting. And so that's the first step of it, is making that connection, right? So that you have a connectiveness. That we're not going to talk about that topic today because that's a whole thing, how to break the ice and kind of open up the possibility or probability of a business opportunity for people or a health issue. And to me, that whole connectiveness is all about just asking questions and getting to know the person. And now you're getting into the second step where you've set up the meeting and now you're showing up, right? And, you know, we know some basic things. I mean, I always tell people, even though it's not in the outline today, I always tell people, always be timely. In fact, I like to get to places where I'm having meetings like 10 minutes in advance. And if you plan it that way, then if something happens on the road there or on the trip, you always have a little buffer zone. But if you leave a half an hour in advance when it takes you 30 minutes to get somewhere, you're dead. So you want to honor the people. You don't want to be late. You always want to honor them. Always honor the other person. Always. Because why? Because people love to be around others who honor them. They're just going to be, you're increasing your attractor factor. And that's a huge part of the puzzle when you look at getting people involved with Manatech, is you want to increase that attractor factor. So let's talk about the seven tips that were in this article. And it was an article written by Jason Webiker. And he said, I put a quote out of the article up front. It just talked about obtaining face-to-face meetings that, you know, they take a lot of time and energy. They're painful because sometimes we can't get them, and how many no's do we get before we get a yes? And so, you know, they can be expensive to attend because some of us have to go long distance for it or other things, but typically not. They're typically not tough unless you're doing some kind of rental of location. If you're going to do a, you know, event in a hotel or something like that, then you're racking up the bucks. But, you know, a lot of people are trying to avoid that. They like to do webinars, WebEx, GoToMeeting, Join Me, all these kind of things. But nothing beats the in-person meeting with a new prospect. And why is that? It's because your connectedness. Belly-to-belly business, this will always be. And, you know, it's a way we can read people. We can collect subtleties about them. We get to touch people and, you know, in appropriate ways, right? We get to hug on them. They get to see us. They get to see the smile. They get to see the interaction, and we get to see them. We get to really see, and what do they say about languaging? 80 to 90% of all languaging is nonverbal. So if you understand that, you'll understand the critical importance of one-on-one meetings, meeting with prospects. So it's great to get ourselves in front of people. Here's the 7 tips that were written about in this article. Number 1, be a Boy Scout. In other words, they talk about it not from being a boy, but being prepared. You always want to be prepared. You never want to go into any one-on-one meeting or group meeting with any people without being totally prepared. One of the reasons that I didn't even write down in the outline, but I can tell you right off the bat, when I go to do a meeting or do a one-on-one, when I'm unprepared, I just tend to have more anxiety in my life. Does that make sense? So if you want to reduce the anxiety and the concerns and all those things that are going on for yourself, you want to make sure that you're prepared, because preparedness makes you feel more confident, right? So be prepared with your approach. That doesn't mean you have everything you're going to say and everything outlined to a T, because then you're going to look like a statue, and you're going to be hard, and you're going to be cold, and instead of malleable, because these one-on-ones are always something that need to have flexibility, because each individual is different. But you want to be prepared, and that being prepared involves, you know, what materials am I bringing? Am I bringing any equipment? In other words, am I doing a PowerPoint presentation? What am I actually doing? What is my plan? And that means you have to have a game plan too, right? But what's your plan, and build around the materials you need, the equipment you need, and then what knowledge do you need to have? In other words, what am I going to be presenting? So be prepared there. We can talk about features of products, right? The facts about the products, if we're going to do a product presentation or we're going to, the person's interested in specific products. You want to have some of those materials available. You want to understand the most important features of the product. If you're going to give a presentation on the business, you don't want to go in and do the cash flow quadrants and get them all mixed up, right? You want to make sure you have the right ones on the right side and the right ones on the left side, and you want to be able to put the square in the middle, and you want to get the 90 and 10% down right, because there are two of them. There's a 90% in one side of the quadrants, 10% over here, and then there's 90% of the money. On the same side, there's 10% of the people and 10% of the money where the 90% are. And we only know about that oh so well. So you want to get everything down pat. Be ready, be prepared, review materials, feel confident and comfortable about what you have. Number two, the second thing you want to do is, if you know something about someone, when you pick up something in the conversation, and that's why whenever I meet people, if you looked at virtually every business card I have on my desk right now, on the back side of it are some notes. We always take notes on the back side of cards. We want to, if there's something that I found out the person that's important, that's interesting, I want to be able to grab onto that and make it part of me, because it's going to allow me to be more what? Have a greater familiarity, be more personal, and perhaps meet a need that they have that I already know about. But you want to make it personal. If you there's nothing that shocks a person more than when you meet them one time and then 2 weeks later you get to go out to lunch with them and you talk about their daughter Sarah and how she's doing in her soccer. I mean, they look at you like, oh my gosh, how do you remember all that? They think you're some kind of genius and they think you really care. And we have that most important criteria. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So target the things that you already know about the people, so you can be more attuned to not just being more personable, but perhaps they'll open the door a little bit about what benefits you want to talk about for them. Because benefits, features and benefits mean nothing unless they apply to that specific person, right? They're going to be concerned about themselves. So, and then have a game plan, as I said, material to cover, exact order, so you have it in order. So not only do you have to have your materials ready, do you need to have the data about them, but you want to put, what kind of order am I going to do this? And again, build with some flexibility, because people don't always let you go in the direction you want to go into it, so be flexible a little bit, but know that what you want to get through in that one-on-one presentation. And the last thing I put in the outline, which really didn't even come in the article I read, but it's so important to me, is the listening skills. You know, some people have all the skills in the world, they develop all these skills, but they leave one of these out because it's not a skill that's widely talked about in our world today. It surely isn't widely taught in our world today. But the skill is listening skills. So it's about developing for yourself good listening skills. And that means, how do I develop that? Well, I develop listening skills by reading good books, taking good seminars. You know, there's so much information out there about how to be a great listener. And what you want to do is you want to work on, excuse me, guys, I got to move. I got so much racket going on in here with Lydia. Sorry. Okay. I just need to find a quiet place. Hopefully all of her racket's not disturbing you guys as much as me. So what you want to do is you want to find good books, find good, you know, materials on how to develop your listening skills. Because really the most powerful thing we do in our life isn't talking, it's listening. You know, the average person out there doesn't have anyone in their life that listens to them. And if you become a great listener, you're going to become a huge attractor factor for people. And it's there's a great quote out there, if you want to be successful in life, be more interested than interesting. We tend as a society to like to talk about ourselves. In reality, we should always want to let other people talk about them because that's their favorite topic. And if you want to set the stage right for people at any point in a one-on-one, is allow them to talk because they love talking about themselves. And that's their favorite topic. So that will put them in a happy state. And it'll be amazing how much progress you make in a conversation where you do the least amount of talking, even though you're the presenter. Does that make sense? It's kind of a funny concept. It's kind of reverse of what logic would seem to dictate, but it is absolutely true. And so when we get nervous or anxious, anxiety sets in, or, you know, we're nervous about our presentation, or we come unprepared, any of those things will trigger you to be a more of a talker than a listener. And when you do that, again, you're avoiding the most important part of your presentation, which is listening, right? And interesting, there's another article I read out that said something about if you want to be interesting, be interested. What does it mean? And it said interesting people have 7 things in common. So maybe you want to take this down. Interesting people have 7 things in common. Number 1, they're not boring. Number 2, they're great listeners. Number 3, they talk about other people's interests. Number 4, they have great stories to tell. Number 5, they have charisma. Number 6, they pick up interesting places to meet. And number 7, they live an interesting life. 7 things in common for interesting people, okay? So anyway, your concept is, I want to be interested more than interesting. I want to be interested. I want to be a listener who's interested in my other person. So if you were going to try to meet in a neat place, you know, even if you're going to set up a time to meet with somebody and they say, great, so where do you want to get together? I sometimes like to say, well, where's one of your favorite places? What do you like to, you know, where do you like to eat, or where would you like to get a cup of coffee? Where's one of your favorite hangouts? I don't know how many of you do that, but that's a great question to ask somebody, because what you're doing is you're walking into their comfort zone instead of putting them in your comfort zone. Does that make sense? So, and when people are more comfortable, they're more apt to make a positive decision about something. So you want to see where, and this also, they're going to pick up the interesting places to meet. You're going to find out from them what they consider an interesting place to meet and get together. So we want to, again, focus on being great listeners. Focus on being interested in them. So that means that we ask a lot more questions of them, even to the point of asking them where would be a great place to meet. Where's one of your favorite places to hang out, like for a cup of coffee? Do you have a favorite, or do you have one in mind that's convenient for you? And just making it, bending over backwards to make something work for them. I tend to always talk about, well, in the past, because I like Starbucks, and there's Starbucks everywhere, so I would, talk about in terms of Starbucks, but it's important for us to open up to the possibility that they have a favorite place that they like to go. All right? So that's be prepared, okay? Be prepared. Number 2 is electronic device etiquette. And this becomes more and more important today because we have so many electronic devices. I mean, we walk around like we're an electronic store. I feel like I have an electronic piece in every pocket of my body, and I'm just carrying this stuff around, it's crazy. In fact, my husband says, you have that hand attachment that you can't let go of, and there's so much information on it that it can start controlling you, and that's one of the problems I see with those iPhones today, is they really tend to control you. And if you're stuck in that posture, I would say, wow, try to break that habit as fast as possible, because it's eating up your life, right? But our electronic devices, when we go to meeting with people, you got to make sure your phone is off. And some people that I go out with, sometimes they put it on buzz. So I hear, and it's like, what you're doing when you do that, you go, well, Mary Jo, I took it off the ring. It just buzzes. And I go, great. So your buzz noise is more important than the person you're meeting with. So what are you announcing to that person? What are you telling them? And that's why I tell people, just turn it off. You don't want any noise, any interruption to happen while you're meeting with someone, right? You want to make it clean and clear. And so to definitely have your electronic devices off. Don't be technology arrogant. That also can happen. And how does that happen? Well, when you go meet with somebody and you have so many electronics, and if you make Manatech or this opportunity be presented in such a fashion where people feel like they have to be technologically advanced in order to do it, you're going to be fine with the Gen Yers, the Gen Xers, the millennials, and that group 90% of the 95 or 99% of the time, because that's where they live. So that's one thing. But when you're meeting with baby boomers or people beyond the baby boomer age, you're going to be in trouble because a lot of those people don't even like technology. They're still trying to, you know, adapt to it. They might have a computer at home. And, I mean, you know, there was a time when a lot of people didn't even have computers, right? I remember that when I started in Manatech almost 20 years ago. I mean, we would talk to people and they didn't even have computers. Today, that's rare. I mean, most people you can assume have a computer. But the fact iPads and ability to do presentations and iPhones and things like that, you want to really be calm in that area because you're going to do a presentation that is going to tell them this isn't for them before you even get started, right? They're going to say, well, I can't do it. And you got to always be cognizant of that. That's one of the reasons why the South Africans, they don't even use PowerPoints in their presentations. They just go right from testimonials, somebody talks a little bit about Manatech, who we are, and then they roll right into their business presentation on a whiteboard. So anybody in the audience can go, I can do that. There's no one left behind. So that's critical, critical that we do the same thing when we're in a meeting, a one-on-one meeting with people, that we don't make it something they can't do. So, again, if you're dealing with high-tech people, great. But I'm just saying that's where our technology, we got to stay out of that arrogance around technology. Just because we know so much doesn't mean that's what we promote with people. I'm really good at that because I have Lydia, and she knows all that stuff, so I don't have to know it. So I couldn't be technology arrogant if I tried because I don't have a lot of knowledge about technology. So but I know some of you love it and you fall in love with it. We have people that are just fanatics about it. I am excited about the new iWatch coming out. In fact, I told Lydia I would have bought 5 of them the day they announced it last week if they were going to come out with them, because they fascinate me. I can't wait to draw a little heart on the face of my watch and send it to my husband, and he's going to hear my own heart beating on that watch, the face of the watch, with that heart popping up. I mean, I just think those are exciting ways, messaging that you can do, instant kind of messaging with little drawings on your watch face. That's crazy stuff, and that's just one of a million things. And I'm not here to promote iPhones or iWatches, but technology can overwhelm people, and you want to be sensitive to that, right? Very important point. Number 3, give cliff notes. This is a suggestion that basically kind of says summarize a little bit up front. In other words, you definitely want to let people know the time frame. You don't want them to think that they're going to be sitting there for 2 to 3 hours, so you want to say, and I like to do that usually in advance. I tell people, you know, it's only going to take you 20 to 30 minutes of your time. Can you give me 20, 30 minutes of your time? Right? So you want to be really clear in terms of the time constraints around it. And, you know, if you're doing it in front of an audience or group, like a home meet or something, you might want to outline what you're doing. You know, say, you know what, thanks for coming tonight. Kind of, this is our game plan for the evening. And you give them kind of cliff notes on what's going to happen. So they don't sit there wondering when the shoe's going to fall off or they, you know, whatever. You don't want to make people guessing because people's minds go in that direction. So if you can take off those kind of concerns right off the bat, they're going to be more open to hear the presentation because they're not looking at what's happening, you know, they're not contemplating, okay, what is she going to do after she finishes this part of it? They're going to already know the sequence of events. So you don't have to have somebody guessing at that, right? It's a good thing because we want to make our audience the most relaxed as possible, the most comfortable as possible, not so they fall asleep, but so that they're open to hear and learn, because that's what our our one-on-ones are about is educating people and listening to them, making it personal to them. So Cliff Notes is just an idea of just giving them a lowdown on what's going to transpire, what's going to happen, and that takes less than 15 seconds to go through a review of the evening or a review of if you're going to, you know, take them out to lunch, you know, hey, this is what I kind of have planned. Let's go out to lunch. This is what I'll do, a little, you know, 20-minute or so presentation. We'll talk about you, your family, how this could impact and the benefits to you, and then we'll be off. You know, and that's how you kind of set it up. So go, okay, great. That sounds great, Mary Jo. And now they have full expectation of what's transpiring. Very unlike what we see in the Amway world where they tell you to come over and it has nothing to do with the business and they want you to come over for dinner and then they pull out the whiteboard, right? Because they've trapped you. It's called entrapment in lawyering. We don't do that. It's rude. It's obnoxious. It's a different era today. People don't tolerate that. They're offended by it. It's probably what gave Amway such a bad name in the United States. And now they're doing the same thing in other countries, and that's where the majority of their growth is occurring. But it did cause a lot of consternation here in the States. So we don't want to develop that kind of reputation. The fourth item is manage the introductions, and this has a lot to do with group meetings, like if you have five or six people coming in and if they don't know each other. So you want to manage that. You want to introduce people so that they have some idea, but you don't want to get into losing 15, 20 minutes around introductions. So because the prospect's time is very valuable. So each and every person's time is valuable. So you give them a little insight into the people that are there, but you want to make sure that you don't let the time get away. You only spend time basically on the unknowns, too. If a group of people come in and there are three or four that are, you want to work with them to make sure the group knows them. You don't waste 15, 20 minutes on people that you already know. Now, there's a social time. If you're having a group meeting at your home, of course, we always recommend that the first 15 minutes or so are social, so people do mingle. We like that if there's food and there's drink and things like that. But if you're doing it, let's say you're getting three or four people together at a Starbucks, you know, I'm suggesting that value their time, and that's really what they say here. Manage the introductions so that you're valuing your prospect's time. And the small talk that exists in networking, of course, the majority of small talk that I see where it happens is my first meeting somebody brand new. When I bump into somebody at the store or something, I have tons of small talk that goes on because I don't know who they are. I'm trying to just get to know them, or at the Grapevine Festival, which I went to this weekend, to get to know those people and see if I can't find some leads to follow up with and potentially bring into the business. All of that is more small talk. But when it gets to the presentation day, there's a little bit to just, you know, soften the group, make everybody comfortable, and then move into it. They cut the fat is number five. When we say cut the fat, what he's talking about here is that you don't want to, like, spend 20 minutes up front talking about who is Manatech. You want to, you know, people are coming for a bottom line analysis. Yes, they want to understand what this is about, so you give them some feedback. I like to talk about in terms of the company is the founder of the science of nutritional glycobiology. I love to introduce people when I start my presentation, depending on who it's with. It differs depending on the person. And obviously, after doing it for 18 years, I kind of have kind of a methodology I use, which I'm not sure I could even quantify every aspect of it because it just kind of rolls for me. But I loved it. When I look back at what I say to people, I love to kick off. I just, like last week, I worked with a naturopath, and we got her signed up. And I love to start with the question, you know, have you ever heard of the science of glycobiology? Because that opens the gate to making the next step. So instead of saying, oh, I'm here today to talk to you about Manatech, if you start with a question, a query, it's a great way to start into a one-on-one with people because it sets the stage and it allows them to communicate and it causes them to be, what, inquisitive because you're asking a question. And you're answering, and then answering the question becomes a logical next step in the conversation. So you can get into it and say, you know, I had never heard of it either. And back in the 1990s when I was working with my dad on a serious condition, health condition, I came across it and it intrigued me because it was so new. And then I might use a visual presentation. I think that instead of talking about cell-cell communication with your hands and stuff like that, I always use Science Magazine, the front cover of Science Magazine. I still have it. I used it with the naturopath. Why? Because it still brings a tremendous amount of credibility. It's 12 years old, but it's still a beautiful piece. So getting it and laminating it and carrying around this copy of the Science Magazine front cover is a great way to describe to somebody and, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, what is the science of glycobiology all about and why it's important to the human body. Now, would I do that presentation with everybody? No, because remember, I might be meeting with somebody who's looking for a business opportunity. I might bring in some of that, but I may not go as in-depth with a naturopath. It's critically important for us to, what, have a heavy emphasis on science because these are people that will not want to run with you unless there's a significant scientific foundation for what you're asking them to get involved with. Whereas somebody who's looking, I just want to make money, Mary Jo, show me how to make money. Well, or how is this going to help me? Or why do I need, or somebody that's stuck in their life and they're just going, you know, I've tried everything. I don't know what it's working, what's not working. And, you know, that I'm looking to take another job now. And you go, you know what, you and I need to talk. Well, with somebody like that, what's going to be my one-on-one? I'm going to cut through the fat. I don't have to talk about Manatech and the history of glycobiology. What I need with them is to draw out the quadrant analysis. Say, why are we continuing to go backwards in life? You know, we've tried job how many times? You know, and I'd love to talk about that. And then I do the cash flow quadrants and all. And then when I talk about when you're looking at, when you do it that route, you get into the cash flow quadrants and it's really easy to springboard into Manatech because whenever you choose a business, okay, and I'm giving you tips on presentation styles, but whenever you get to the business quadrant, one of the things that you want to talk about is what makes a great business. I mean, you just don't choose any business. You want to go into business yourself. You just don't choose any business. Number one, you want to find one that you're, if I can find a business where I don't have to take a lot of risk, that's important to me. Is $500 a lot of risk? No. In fact, it's no risk with Manatech because if after 6 months it doesn't work for you, you can get all your money back. So I said, there you go. You're not putting $60,000 or $200,000 in a franchise. I said, so then what do you want to look at next? It's got to be a great product. Otherwise, you don't have a good business, right? And then you can talk about the uniqueness of the product. So you can go through the reasons why you pick a business like that. But so each presentation is different. This gets back to getting prepared and having a game plan, depending on what you know about the person, so that when you walk in, it's not the same thing with everybody. It's a kowtow to where their needs are, whether they're business or product-oriented, and you can walk in that direction. But again, don't waste their time. Don't get off on tangents and spend 15, 20 minutes telling the whole history of Manatech. They don't need to know all that, right? Let the materials do the talking. So many times we do presentations and we start getting into what all the materials say. And it's like, you know what? They can read that. They can watch the video. Anytime a material can do the job, you're benefiting both of you. Number one, you don't have to talk as much. They don't have to listen as much. So you can be asking more questions of them versus giving them more information. Number two, if you do all the talking about what this business is and all these things, they're going to look at it and go, I can never do that. Because they're going to want to do something easy where a tool does all the talking. So that's why you share tools with them so that they understand it can be easy for them to do as well. So all of this gets into cutting out the fat, right? And we want to really recognize the important piece here too is the idea about they're coming to find out what you're offering and whether it meets what? Their needs. Because you're not going to get anyone to move forward until you show how it meets their needs. Unless you're just such a great salesman and you just cajole them to get started, and then I guarantee in 3 months, probably in 1 month, they're going to be off their automatic order and they're never going to want to see you again. That's not the impact you want to have on somebody. That's why we always call this absolutely trust marketing, and we'll get into that in the next speaking authentically. But the idea is that you know, we want to be able to spend time with them, finding out what their needs are, because if we don't meet one of their needs, they're not going to find any impetus to join you. So there's got to be there's a gap there in needs. Now, last week, I believe I covered the Forbes article, and that was awesome because not only did it talk about baby boomers having that financial gap between their retirement savings and what they want to live on, it's not that they can't, not a lot of them can't make it, but most people don't want to retire and just get by. They'd love to have extra spending money to do all the things they want to do, whether it's, you know, visit their grandkids, go on vacations. Now they have all this free time, and they can't do anything because they have no money. You get it? What a disaster is that for retirement? So you're helping to feed that gap, but look at all the other gaps that were in that article. This is what I'm talking about in this area when I talk about need assessment. When you're talking to baby boomers now, you can have multitude of languaging around what their needs are. You know, you're walking away from a job. What are you going to keep? What are your interests? What are you going to keep busy with? Because you got to fill that gap. And how are you going to stay connected with people? Because how many people did you know at your job? 40, 50 people. Are you interested in developing camaraderie elsewhere? You're going to feel this hole in your life if you don't have another outlet, social outlet, right? So you want to build Manatech as a social outlet, build them as a health outlet, build them as a purpose outlet, build them as a community of interest outlet, like they had at their job. So all of these are other factors that you would have as potential needs that you're meeting. So your need assessment here is arguably the most important step in the entire process. And that's absolutely true. If you read any materials on network marketing, you're always going to find that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, and this is a need fulfillment business. Those are, I've always represented in all my trainings, those are the two most important principles in network marketing. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, and this is a need fulfillment business. So in order to fulfill somebody's need, you got to figure out what it is. And the only way you find out is by asking a lot of questions. So it's going to be up to you to come up with some great questions and being a great listener in this regard to find out what, you know, what do they see in their life and where are they going with their life and what are they doing next and how are you solving that problem and what do you see as solutions to that? And then present, would you be open to listening to this? Or, you know, all these things are important. And say, you know, if you had something like this, what would it mean to you? And see what they say. But asking those questions, if you had an extra $1,000 a month, what would it mean to you? What would it mean to you? And you know what's so intriguing about having an extra $1,000 a month is the fact that, and I love to talk about this too, it takes 5 seconds, is with the interest rate at the bank at about 2% annually, do you know that you would have to save after tax $600,000, put it in a bank account, and now you could make $1,000 extra a month. How many of you in your lifetime are going to save up $600,000 after tax cash and have it in a bank to produce that income for you? You follow me? I mean, that's a huge, people look at that and they think, why? And I said, and with Manatech, you have this incredible opportunity. I mean, in the first 6 months, we helped people get to national director status, and those people make between $450 and $1,500 on a monthly basis. What a blessing that is. So even if you didn't make the 1,000 in 6 months, you only made the bottom line of that, 500, that would take you $300,000 after tax, cash, invested in a bank account, to earn that kind of income on a monthly basis. Great, convincing stuff, right? Need fulfillment. Almost everybody has a cash need. They may not want to recognize it, but, you know, tying into those kind of interesting stats is a great way of finding out that need and helping them see the picture, right? So cut through the fat, do a needs assessment, make sure you're asking the right questions on, you know, finding out what's important to them. Because they could have major health problems, but the most important thing on their hierarchy of needs is cash flow. And that's what happened to me with a couple I met last week. And we're going to go meet them again. So it's, but, you know, they have serious health needs, but you know what? Doesn't matter if they don't have cash flow. So we're going to try to help them see the light on the business side of it and do a business presentation for them and work with them on connecting with people. So, okay, need assessment. Now, six is speak authentically, and we just talked briefly about that. We want to be real. We want to talk about Manatech within the context of a broader need. In other words, don't just boast about Manatech and all the great things. We want to talk about the broader need. What's their need? The ESBI quadrants, health in the United States, you know, a broader need that in Manatech, again, with M5M, we speak authentically and the love we have for the children and malnourished kids. But I'm going to tell you that I don't ever lead with that. It's like a frosting on a cake. I put it at the back burner. It comes out last. When I talk about Jason Lester, people sometimes ask, well, why is he running that? And I go, oh, my gosh, because, you know, one of the things that Manatech does on the side, one of their purposes is to end global malnutrition in kids. And I'm not trying to downplay it, but I'm telling you, that's what Jason Lester caught on to. And he wanted to, you know, so I got to tell it that way. But I don't lead with it because a lot of people will suggest that they already have their charities, they're not looking for another one, and then they totally dismiss everything else you have to say. Well, and they think that you're just jacking up the prices in your products because you're trying to end global malnutrition, when the fact is Manatech didn't raise any price when they converted to social entrepreneurship. So this happened, it's coming out of the company's coffers, a little bit out of the compensation plan, but, you know, it's not about Manatech raising prices. That's not what they're doing. So you want to speak authentically, come from the heart, and again, not all M5M mushy stuff right up front because that's not going to attract. You're going to lose a lot of people who are trying to, you know, their needs aren't finding a charity today. You're also going to lose a lot of people in their 20s because notwithstanding the fact that we have all this study about people being interested in social entrepreneurship, those kids definitely want to get their feet grounded in something that they know has a future as well. So they're very psyched. I've talked to a bunch of them over the weekend and last week, and I found their number one need is, and I look back at when I was 25, what was my number one need? Taking care of myself the rest of my life. I was single. I wasn't married. I knew that I needed cash flow. I needed income. I needed to figure out a plan for my life, and I was very focused on Mary Jo Hilliker and driving that, whatever that was going to be. So I was taken care of, so I wouldn't have to worry about financials because I did that with my family for my first 18 years. So I saw what it is when there's no money in the family, and I said that wasn't going to be for me. I wanted to make sure I was financially sound. So that's a very sincere interest. So we want to make sure that that's like J.P. Koster. Remember J.P. Koster? You know, if you go after him and you start bringing M5M up with him, he could care less about M5M. When he heard about it, he didn't even care about the products. He didn't want to hear about the products. He just said, show me the money. So, and he became a silver presidential in what? He became presidential director in 11 months. It took him to get the presidential. So that was somebody driven by money, young people. But everybody's different, so you want to make sure that your heart, though, shows up. Speak authentically, you know, talk about the things that matter to you, but don't do a heavy emphasis, my suggestion on M5M up front. I, you know, talk about the company and the difference it makes in people's lives and financially as well as, you know, health-wise. You want to be transparent about Manatech strengths and weaknesses. I added this in here because a lot of people like to boast about Manatech on things that aren't even true. But this doesn't mean that you share what you like or dislike about Manatech. It just means don't paint Manatech in some picture like second to God, which is how some people like to promote this company. And I just look at them and go, you know what? You know, this is a great company. They have a lot of great attributes, but they're still, it's people. And people are, you know, they have their own issues. You know, there's things that we've done right, things that we've done wrong, and there are a lot of things out there. But the beauty of it is that this company is so driven by their passion to help people in two significant ways, with their health and with their financial. And I love that about them because those are two criteria that are very missing in our society today and very, very, you know, two probably the most critical needs for everybody. So that's what makes them the kind of company I want to be associated with. But again, never misrepresent the company or the products you want to make, because once you lose, and here's an important thing to always recognize, that we want to speak authentically because we want people to trust us, right? Authentic speaking leads to trust. And the reason why trust is so critically important is that this isn't a one-time transaction. This is a long-term transaction. These people are going to be in your life the rest of your life. You're hoping. So when you start thinking about that when you're meeting with people, it'll change your languaging. It'll make you more cognizant of what you say. It will also make you more careful with what you say. It'll also cause you to be more cognizant of who this person is, because if they're going to be in my life the rest of my life, I want to be around people that I really want to be around, right? That are adding to my life too. Where's the contribution coming back? And I want to be around good value people that are people I would love to hang out with just because they have such great values. And that's what I find in my organization. I have people that have become my best friends today are in my Manatech business. I mean, I have some good friends outside of it, but the majority of my friends are my Manatech associates because we're like-minded. So you can't do that and establish that relationship if you're fraudulent or you misrepresent things or you're not trustworthy. You want to attract trustworthy people. And that also gets to answering questions. Never guess. Never feel the pressure that you're in the hot seat and you have to know this, otherwise they'll disrespect you. People respect you more for saying, you know what, that's a great question. Let me go to my team leader and get the answer for you. I just never thought of it. That's great. You're honoring the other person by telling what a great question they just asked, right? That's an honoring thing to do, and you always want to honor prospects because that makes them feel good about themselves. And then you move forward, and you say, I'll find that answer. And when do you get back to them? In 24 hours. You don't wait a week. You get back immediately. Some of you get embarrassed because you didn't know, and then you feel embarrassed, so you never get back to them. That's assured failure in this business. So always be honest, always get back to the person right away with any questions that they had that they want answered, and be you. Again, that's not perfect, just like me being me. I'm far from perfect, but I'm going to be me in that conversation. I'm going to be me in that environment. I want them to see all of that because it also opens up their belief system that they don't have to be perfect. That's the important thing, that they can do this. Remember, that's one of the number one factors why people say no to you is because they don't believe they can do it. And you're in a position to overcome that and help them overcome that, yes, you can do this. Finally, seven is find the influencer. If you're talking to a group, this is just a heads up. If you do a group meeting, they're usually, especially if they're a group together, if they're five or six people together that come together and they're family or they're, you know, a neighborhood group or something, usually there's somebody in that group that's kind of an influencer. Everybody else follows. You ever notice that? It may not be true, but heads up to be aware of it. Because if you don't get that person, you probably won't get the rest. So I tend to look in groups like that and work with the person that seems to be the biggest influencer, or at least I work in their personality quadrant. So, and most of the people that are in the big influencers, what quadrants are they in? They're not in the supporter quadrant and they're not in the analytic quadrant. They're in what? They're either in the promoter quadrant or the I inspires. That's a huge part of the group. The inspirers attract tons of people. They want to follow them. Or they're in the D, the dominant, because people, and they don't necessarily want to follow them, but they follow them because they respect them and honor them. So, but they all want to follow the inspirers. So you want to be able to communicate to them in their respective personality quadrants. And if you haven't gotten involved doing personality quadrant analysis anytime in your life, I just highly suggest you take that on. And it's just really helpful, and it's helped me in a huge way understand not only how to work with prospects, but also how to work with the people in my organization. How do I best support them? Because I was really like hard around the edges when I first started in this business because I was a lawyer for years, and lawyers are tough. We're paid to be tough. So when I got out there and I had supporters in my organization, it was a mess. I created a lot of mess in relationships. And it wasn't until I understood everybody's created differently and we have these four particular quadrants that people fall in, and there's ways to communicate to people and ways not to within the respective quadrants. So it's important to understand that. But you always want to make sure that you'll have a tendency to go towards a quadrant you're most comfortable with, because we all have a tendency in that arena. It may not be a 90-10% tendency, but it's a, you know, 30% of you wants to go in this quadrant and 22% over here, right? But we'll tend to go where we're most comfortable because that's where we do what we do as people. But that's not going to always get us the best results. So I'm just saying be ready to take a head-on somebody who's the influencer, because if you get them involved, you know you capture the rest of the group because they're the dynamic one and they're going to typically be inspire and they're going to help everybody else jump on board. And they're also going to typically be some of your best business builders as well. As long as you can keep their attention directed at Manatech, you'll keep them forever. So that's it, people. That's all I have. Hopefully this helps a little bit in terms of one-on-one presentations. I know you guys have been doing them for years. Some of you are new on the call, so it might have helped. But these are just some tips to feed off of, to remember, and try to tweak the way you're doing your business, because we're always, if you're like Mary Jo, we're always looking for things that are going to help us be better, because these are all skills that we're developing on how to meet people, how to interact with people, how to move them forward, how to inspire them, and then how to do a presentation. These are skill sets, and you need to develop skills in this business to be great. So, right? Okay, everybody, any last-minute questions, comments, anyone?
Thanks so much. This has been great.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it. I wasn't sure. I picked up the material, and I thought, you know, we've done stuff on this before, but it looks like, you know, refreshers are always good, and there's always new things to share as well. All right, everyone, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.